reminding you now. Okay. And in the book of John 10:27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice." So we discussed this scripture, and I think you can put the first slide up, Jean. And the question that was posed to us was, well, is he telling the truth when he says this, or does this only apply to some people, that my sheep hear my voice? Interesting, some of the answers that I know, one particular lady, she's not here, but she says, "No, God's never spoken to me. He's never spoken to me. He's never told me anything." I thought, how sad, how sad that is. Because obviously this scripture applies to everyone, to every Christian, because God would never speak to some people and not others. Otherwise he would be a respecter of persons, which he's not. And Jesus always tells the truth. And if we say that God never speaks to us, you know, we're calling Jesus a liar, and we need to be careful what we say. The Bible also says, and this was our second thing, that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth and show us things to come. So the question was, how important is it to hear God's voice? And of course, it's just not very important. It's pertinent. It's paramount that we hear God's voice as a Christian. But it ceases to amaze me and sadden me that people think God's word only applies to, well, to me because I'm the pastor, or to Sandra because she's teaching, or to someone that might have a platform ministry. But it doesn't apply to them. And I think there are more people than I realise that have these blocks over the word of God, over themselves. And this can be just a major thing in our Christian walk, and it can stop us from hearing, stop us from being guided and led. So I'm going to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and I'm reading this from the Passion Translation because it just says exactly what my heart's got on it. So throughout our history, God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many different ways. The revelation that he gave them was only a fragment at a time, building one truth upon another. But to us here living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of a son, the appointed heir of everything, for through him God created the panorama of all things and all time. Other versions say through his son, but I love this when it says he speaks the language of a son. It's the language of family. It's the language of those who are close to him. He speaks to us as a son and a daughter in familiar terms that we're going to understand. And we hear him according to our own particular giftings and character. We hear God's voice according to how he has made us and the call that is on our life. And guess what? If we're not listening or we don't answer, God will call back. He will call you again. Yep, he called Jonah again, remember? Jonah, now he certainly wasn't a fancy person, talented preacher. He didn't even have good charisma and he didn't even like people. But God chose him and he used him. Because if you first don't answer, God will call you back. Jonah was a reluctant prophet, given a mission that he found distasteful. He had a big job to do. He chose to run away from it, though, rather than obey God. And like Jonah, we have to do things in life that we sometimes don't want to do. And sometimes we find ourselves wanting to run and turn away. But in spite of his defiance and our defiance at times, God in his mercy will give us another chance to serve him. In other words, he'll call you back. What God has for you is for you. That's why we don't have to be jealous or resentful, because what God has for you is for you. All we have to say is, "Here I am, Lord." Let's look at Samuel. This is another story of God showing us how he repeats things. He keeps calling us back. Have you ever noticed when God is trying to get your attention, it's sort of like shopping for a new car. You start seeing that model everywhere. Like back in January, we put a deposit on a ram, okay, one of those new rams, and every day we see rams. So when God is saying something to you, and he's probably not saying rams to us, but when he's wanting to confirm something to you, he keeps showing you things. I remember when I was working at the... I worked for St. George Bank for 10 years and then I worked at the IMB. And I remember I'd been there 3 years and I felt... I just had this feeling, I have to leave work. It didn't make sense. I was putting my daughter through uni and how was I going to afford not to work? I had to work. But it kept just niggling at me. And then three different people who knew nothing, because I never said anything to anyone, said to me, oh, you won't be working there forever, or someone would just drop another comment over here about, oh, you're still working, and things like that. And so I thought, because I was only new to hearing from God then, and I thought, oh, but it doesn't make sense. And I think God's calling sometimes doesn't make sense to us. So I talked to Graham and he said, whatever you feel you need to do. So I go into work this day and at the time when I felt it's now, my hands went sweaty, I couldn't think straight, and this girl walked in off the street and she said, she thought I was the boss because I was older, the boss was only quite young, and she said, I heard there's a job going here, can I put in a resume? And I'm like, the boss comes out, no, there's no jobs here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to do this now. And so I went into the office and I sat down. She said, you're going to leave, aren't you? Yes. And it just, this peace came over me. And it didn't make sense. That was my first real experience of hearing something that God wanted to get across to me. And that began my journey of my volunteering here at the church and learning all the finances and learning the administration. And I never got paid. But it didn't matter. God provided every need that I had. And it was the most wonderful learning time and hard learning time as well. But that was what God had for me at that point because he was doing something long term there. So God speaks over here and he'll say something over there to confirm. And we start noticing that God is trying to get something through to us. Just like in the story of Eli and Samuel. Now, Israel had been ruled by judges for over 200 years, and Eli and Samuel are the last of those judges. Samuel is born just at the end of Eli's life. He's quite old now, and he's growing up in the tabernacle as a like priest in training under Eli. And although the nation had fallen away from God, it's clear that God was preparing Samuel from the very beginning to lead the nation back to right living. So let's have a look at that chapter of 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 10. The Lord speaks to Samuel. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. They were in the tabernacle. And Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the Ark of God. Take note of this. He was sleeping near the Ark of God. And suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. And the Lord called out again, Samuel. And again Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not know yet the Lord because he never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Then Eli realized, he discerned here, that it was the Lord that was calling the boy. And so he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say this, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. I'm going to pick some things out of this chapter. Eli discerned that it was the Lord. Sometimes we need to discern. Sometimes we might need to hear it a few times to discern just who is speaking to us. Because sometimes the loudest voice is not always the right one. Another thing, Samuel's greatest revelation happened in rest. He went back to his rest. And the greatest place that we could ever be in to hear God's voice is in rest. Resting. I saw this thing on Facebook and it says, if God is making you wait, then do what waiters do, serve. In other words, just go about things, go about doing good, getting on with life. God will call you back if you missed his call. And Eli didn't say, oh, that must have been God. Quick, run out there, you're going to miss him. No, he didn't. Because we just have to be in rest. I'm speaking to myself here, not running around, and I'm not chasing anything, but sometimes we can go looking for, I'm sure God's going to tell me something. I want this so bad that I'm going to go looking for it. That's a danger. It's most important that we are in position, meaning in fellowship with one another, walking in love with one another, being in the Word, studying the Word. As I said, Samuel set himself up because he was in the right place. He was serving, he was being trained up, and he was in rest. That's all you have to do. You don't have to go looking for him. He will find you, trust me. If it's your time, he will call you. I know an unfortunate story of a young man who died 18 months ago at the age of 29. He was killed in fires, and his family were devastated and still are. And there was something said that how could God do that? Because he'd had prophetic words spoken of him over him as a child. He had someone had spoken over his life. But yet the sad thing was he was never in that position for those words to come to pass. You may have been given words, but if you're not in your position, it's not your time. Or it's not going to happen. So be in rest. Trust that God has the timing for you. And from my experience, when we think we're ready, we're not. Just rest. Don't strive. And be happy for those who are called around you. Be happy. When I first came into this church, I thought everyone was happy. I hadn't been there long and I'd been given position. And I was only to realise that nobody liked me because I'd been given position and maybe they wanted that. But I'm so glad we're in a place now where we love and encourage each other, recognise the gifts on people's lives and bless them, pray for them. And you know what? If you put yourself in a position that God hasn't put you, it will take you all your strength to stay there and to keep yourself there. But if you wait for God to call you and position you, he will keep you there. This might sound strange, but God does not want you to depend on his will. He wants you to depend on him. You see, we could be saying, well, God, show me your will. I know the call. Thank you. I know I don't need you now. I'm going off on your will. Or we can say, I trust you, God, wherever you lead me and wherever you take me and whatever it means, whatever it costs, whatever it looks like, here I am. There's a difference. There's a big difference there. And I know when I first, there was about four youth in the church. We didn't have many as we don't now, but they're going to come back. And Graham felt sorry for them, and so he invited them to our place for a prayer meeting to pray for a youth leader. And he didn't, if you got to tell me, and so 5 minutes before they're due to arrive, he tells me that we're having a prayer meeting. And I'm like, oh, well, you pray then. You invited him because I was not organised. So, you know, attitude. Well, you do it. You sit there with him. Anyway, of course, when they came, I was all lovely. And as you do. And I sat there with them and we prayed. And something came over me and I began to weep. And God said, I want you to run the youth. And I'm like, no, I can't do youth. I could do the ladies, but I can't do the youth. And I, clear as anything, I felt him say to me, that's why I've called you, because you're going to rely on me to do it. You're not going to rely on yourself. You have to rely on me. And so I did that for, I don't know, how many years? I can't remember. And we had up to 20-odd, 30-odd youth playing games out there. I got tackled, I don't know how many times, with the big youth. There was three weddings that people met each other and got married, and it was an amazing time. Seasons come and seasons go, and they're not here anymore, but there's seed in there, isn't there? Okay. So there's a difference between doing God's will and depending on him when you're called to do something. But there was a conflict here, because Samuel goes in and he lays down. And the Bible says he didn't know the Lord yet. He knew how to bake bread in the tabernacle, because that was his job. And he knew how to open the doors to let the people in to go and worship. And he knew how to serve Eli and follow him around and do this and that. But there's a big difference between the rituals of religion and the relationship with God. And that's where I meant about his will and about doing and depending on him. And see, sometimes we can go through the motions, singing the songs, listening to the message, whatever, you know. We go through the motions, but I really want to encourage you to go deeper in God and get to know him on a greater level, because to know him is to know his voice. And when you know him like that, you can hear things that are hard to hear sometimes. You see, Samuel, when God spoke that message to him, when he called him that night, he had a terrible message that God told him. And you know what it was? And I'm just going to read it. I didn't put it up. It says, "The Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli, the one he's serving, and his family from beginning to end. I've warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I vow that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings." Now, in the pre-chapters, because I read them last night, God had been warning Eli. There'd been a warning. And he wasn't listening. He was going about his rituals of serving God. But one would expect that an audible message from God would be given to the priest Eli and not to the child Samuel. But Eli was older and more experienced, and he had the position. But God's chain of command is based on faith, not on age, not on position. And in finding faithful followers, God may use unexpected channels. So be prepared for the Lord to work at any place, at any time, and through anyone he chooses. You see, Eli had spent his entire life in service to God. His responsibility was to oversee all the worship in Israel. But in pursuing this great mission, he neglected the responsibilities of his own family. So don't let your desires cause to do God's work cause you to neglect your family or the things that God would be not pleased with that you might be doing. Don't let your calling override your life, your everyday walk with God, and, you know, discipline your children when they're young, all those things. And he hadn't done that because God knew everything that was in there. And you know that even when he says things are hard for you to hear, God says them from a spirit of love, grace, and he has a purpose. And you will realize that God's purpose, what it is, when you get in your place. If God's dropping off the mail in your letterbox and you're not home, you're not going to get it. So if you'll think he'll resend it, you will think he didn't send it, that's right, because you're waiting on this from God. And he didn't speak because you're not in your rightful place. And maybe your life's not right in some areas. And I encourage you to get your life right with God in all those things that only you know and God knows. And at the end of that chapter, it says, "And Samuel's word came to all Israel." Samuel said, "Here I am, Speak, Lord. And now they've gone from the word was rare and what does it say? The word was rare and visions were quite uncommon. Messages from the Lord were rare. To now, the word of the Lord had gone to all of Israel because Samuel was obedient to the call of God on his life. He heard God's voice and he spoke directly from the throne of God. And from then on, Samuel was confirmed by the people as a prophet of the Lord. You see, Moses, he stood near a bush, he took off his shoes and he said, God, I'm slow of speech, I'm not eloquent, and you've seen the things that I've done that put me in this predicament, but if it's your will and your call, here I am. Jeremiah said, I'm too young for this and your people are stubborn and they're not even going to listen to me, but if you're calling me, here I am. And the only thing he wants from you is, here I am. It's what Jeremiah and Moses said. It's what Isaiah said. It's what Samuel said. And when he made himself available, the word of God became abundant. As I said, there's different callings and we hear them according to our calling, our character, and we hear God's voice according to how he's made us and the call that's on our life. And I want to show you something here. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20... Did I put that up? Cool. It's the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, the apostle would hear, he would, out of that scripture, he'd hear all authority in all the nations. The pastor would hear, we're going to disciple them. The teacher would hear, we're going to teach them to obey. The prophet would hear, to do the prophetic act of baptizing them. And the evangelist hears, go. You see, we can hear according to who we are. Not everyone is called to the fivefold ministry, but everyone is called to do something. And everyone has been given a gift. You only have to read them in 1 Corinthians 12. Everyone has been given a spiritual gift so we can help one another. So stop thinking that you're not gifted or called of God, because we all are in some way of shape or form. So I want to leave you with this example of how another way of how we hear things. So imagine I've got this beautiful tray of sandwiches. It's a big tray. And here I come doing the waiter thing. I'm coming out with these beautiful gourmet sandwiches. And I trip. And the sandwiches go everywhere and I'm falling over too. This is what had happened. I'm devastated. Sandra would run up and she'd say, well, clearly, this is a lack of training, a lack of teaching. We need to teach you a lesson here on how to carry the sandwiches. And obviously, she's not called or qualified to do this. She needs more teaching in this area. Joanne, is she here? Oh, cool. She'd run up and go, Julie, do you know how much those cost? She does the finances in church, right? They cost a lot of money. Do you know how much they cost? And we don't have a budget to replace them. Andy would come up and he'd go, he'd be picking the sandwiches up, putting them together, and he'd be saying, there's people out at North Heads Caravan Park and they're starving. And they can eat these sandwiches. They're okay. We're just going to dust them off. And they'll be fine. Jill would say, prayer team, let's pray about that. I can hear her voice going, just let's pray about that. And she'd get the team and they'd be praying. Elizabeth would run up and she'd say, I knew that was going to happen. In fact, I had a prophetic word last year and I had a vision. And I saw in the spirit this picture. That's what she'd do. And Graham, now it's not just because he's my husband, but he'd be up here because he's got a big heart for people. He'd be flying up here, pick me up, dust me off, make sure I was okay, and probably call the ambulance just to be sure. You see how we all see something different. We all, and you know that others of you I could pick on too, but I left it at that. So you're lucky. But we all see life differently. We all see God's word to us differently. I mean, his word is his word, but there are things that we see, don't we, so differently from one another, because that's how he created us. That's how he wants us all to be different, working together for the common good. And as a church, we've got to be listening. And I've just got some tips here on how to hear from God. Position yourself close to God. Remember, Samuel set up his bed in the temple near the Ark of the Covenant. Find a regular place of service to God. Well, here we are. We're in church together. Listen for God's voice. And when God calls, respond eagerly. When he speaks, obey him. Read and study the word. And you know, when I heard the call of a pastor, I had a prophetic word that said to me, they saw me in a field with a plough, holding onto a plough and ploughing up a field. And when they looked, it was me, and I was holding onto the plough so tightly that my hands were white knuckled. And I'd sowed a third of the field, and I'd come to some rocks and boulders, and I couldn't move them. And so I went around them. And he said, and you've got two-thirds of the field to plough up. God hasn't finished with you yet. You're a farmer in the spirit sowing seed. And that came at a critical time. And then because at that stage we were in a bit of a mess here. And I knew that God was saying, hold on to the plough. And I heard that with my pastor's heart, because I saw a church that needed to stick together and to just love one another and get through this time. And that word was confirmed by the national leader. Others in the room didn't see it. They didn't think it was right. They didn't think that was God. But I knew in my heart that God had put a pastor's call on my life. And I heard that word because of the call and the gifting that God has put on me. And there are calls and giftings that God has put on you that are just as important. Just as important. So when you hear God say, go and be friendly to that person. Go and give that person something. That's just as important as I picked up the call to lead this church. So I pray that you would hear God's voice in the gifting and the callings that are on your life. Amen. Thank you, Lord.